Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. And if you're not so familiar with the Old Testament books, Jeremiah is between the book of Isaiah and Lamentations. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Hear the very word of the living God. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, declares the Lord. Would you pray with me, church? Father, indeed, as we gather today, it is truly amazing that you would call us here as your sons and daughters, the church. And in your name, Jesus, we gather to praise you. So, Spirit, as you guide us through this time to exalt the name of Jesus, would it be a time where we receive the truth of your word, that it would propel us to go from this place as we hear your word and share the good news of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus, for your powerful presence in this time and place. And we thank you in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in case you don't know me, I'm Steve Thompson. I serve as one of the elders here at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church. I am substituting today for Pastor Ryan, who is sick, so that's why I'm here. It was a last-minute thing, so instead of the series continuing in the book of Philippians, as Pastor Ryan had been preaching on, we're going to take quite an exit here and go into the Old Testament and look at the book of Jeremiah, again, specifically chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. And I get to do something that is really special today, besides helping out Pastor Ryan and presenting the gospel to you. I get to boast about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the title of this message is all about, boasting only in Christ. So I'd like to introduce this message with the following things. In 1912, the Titanic was boasted as unsinkable. 4 days after it departed Southampton, England for New York City on its maiden voyage, the ship hit an iceberg in the North Atlantic and sank. In 1957, Ford Motor Company debuted its newest car, the Edsel, which was boasted as the car of the future. However, 2 years later, the Edsel was discontinued because it was a flop. In 1941, the United States boasted of its naval base in Pearl Harbor. On December 7th of that year, the unthinkable happened when the base was all but demolished by an enemy attack. David M. Kennedy, in his book Freedom from Fear, said this about the attack, quote, many Americans instinctively believe that an inferior power like Japan could not possibly have inflicted such damage on the United States, end quote. You see, boasting is indeed man's nature, isn't it? It's something we all do to one degree or another. Boasting in ourselves means we're desperate for self. In fact, boasting in self is pride and arrogance, which is evil, Scripture says. But we're proud of such things, like our wisdom, strength, and wealth. It's a way of measuring our status among others. We can be prideful and arrogant in our boasting, even about our jobs, our families, or how much stuff we have, and we don't even know we're doing it. In the church, if we're not careful, we can even boast about our theology, the worship music that we sing, or even the pastor's preaching. Boasting in self makes us feel good about ourselves. We think we're somebody. We're elevated above others. But here's what John Piper, author, pastor, and founder of Desiring God Ministries, said about this. We weren't meant to be somebody. We were meant to know somebody. So think about this, church. Nothing can be better than knowing God and boasting in Him. That's the theme of this message. And that's the theme of our text today from Jeremiah chapter 9. And since knowing God is reason to boast, the Bible says, do that. Do that. Boast in the Lord. Here's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Since knowing God is reason to boast, it's also reason to love and trust Him, as a child would love and trust their daddy. And knowing God is to delight in Jesus and to be desperate to know Him. That's the overarching theme of this message. Boasting in anything or anyone else wells up pride and arrogance in ourselves, which is sin. That was God's message to His people through the prophet Jeremiah. That's why Jeremiah angered the religious leaders of his day. They were more in love with themselves than with God. But God wants His people to look to Himself as their delight because of His steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. All of those things are who Jesus is. And we're in desperate need. We are in desperate need of boasting in Him instead of ourselves. So with all that said, what does it look like then to boast only in Christ? Is it even possible to do that in a world that is so self-absorbed? Well, here's the three points that I want us to take away today from this Old Testament book of Jeremiah so that we can comprehend what boasting only in Christ is all about. Here's the three points. Boasting in ourselves, first of all, means that we are desperate for self. Secondly, boasting in God means knowing Daddy. Notice the uppercase D, the capital D to start that word. And third, delighting in Jesus means we're desperate for Him. Now, God's message to His people through Jeremiah over 2,500 years ago of treasuring Himself above themselves is still pertinent for us today. God wants us to see ourselves as desperate for Him. God desires us to know Him and delight in Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus is the preeminent person of God's love, justice, and righteousness. We are to boast in Christ alone and no one else, not even ourselves. Because when we boast in ourselves, we are desperate for self. And that's our first point. So in the Old Testament here, God specifically says this numerous times. You've heard it. Thus says the Lord. And this implies that there's something really important that God has to say to His people, people like us. And listening to God and obeying His command is imperative for life and godliness. In this case, God is emphasizing the fact that boasting in self isn't what life is all about. Here's Jeremiah 9, verse 23 again. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Think about this, church. When we boast in self, we further the kingdom of me. We worship ourselves. We make much of our name instead of Jesus' name. Think about your own life. If you're a believer in Christ, who do you boast in the most often? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ or is it yourself? You've heard of the joy principle, haven't you? J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That's boasting in Christ. That's making Him above all other things. And it says that even others are placed above ourselves. That's the Christian life. That's what God calls us to do. But on the other hand, you may employ the you principle. Do you know what the you principle is? Y-O-U. Yourself first, others second, and Jesus, I don't need you to help me. I've got this. That's the you principle. It's all about you. It's all about the furthering the kingdom of self. It's all about ourselves in first place instead of Jesus or anyone else. Joe Stoll, pastor and author and former president of Moody Bible Institute, relates this story about his 7-year-old daughter asking this question. She said, "Dad, are we famous?" And his reply was to his 7-year-old daughter, "No, Libby, we're not famous." And she thought for a moment and then said, "Well, we would be if more people knew about us." Even a 7-year-old's desperate need for boasting in self is fueled by sinful arrogance and pride. Think about the Apostle Paul. He knew what it was like to have reason to boast in oneself. In fact, he had reason to brag about his Jewish upbringing. He had reason to boast in his righteousness in keeping the law as a Pharisee and his zeal for persecuting the church. However, when Paul was rescued from his sin and from himself by Jesus on the road to Damascus, there was a dramatic change. He boasted in Christ instead of himself. Here's what Paul says about that as he was inspired by God to write in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Look at this. So good. "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Indeed, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord makes anything else pale in comparison. Think about this. Boasting in our wisdom, strength, and wealth is to be considered rubbish, garbage, sewage, Paul was saying, compared to knowing Christ. And when we realize this truth, we begin to apprehend how desperate we really are for knowing God. Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him as Abba, Father. Abba being the Aramaic word for daddy. And that brings us to the second point, that boasting in God means knowing Daddy, knowing Abba Father. A few minutes ago, I mentioned the greatest thing in life is knowing God and boasting in Him. Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him in a personal relationship like a daddy would know his son or daughter. There's an intimacy there that knowing God as Father and friend, it's more than just mere knowledge about who God is. Here's what Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24, we'll look at it again to emphasize the importance of this. Jeremiah 9, 24 says, "But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. In the Westminster Catechism, there's a question that asks the following. What is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever is an example of what it means to know God and to love Him. And knowing God means to know Jesus. It means knowing the Holy Spirit and His indwelling power. And nothing can be better than that. Nothing. Knowing God as Daddy, Abba, Father, and knowing about Him are two totally different things. You know, I could come to church for decades. I could give to the offering in a generous manner. I could sing all the worship songs, listen to all the sermons, and still not know God in a personal relationship. I could memorize hundreds of Bible verses, attend a small group, take part in men's ministry, and still only know about God. Really, knowing God involves an intimate, loving, and trusting relationship as a father is to a son or daughter. Over a half century ago, it's been a while, I was 11 years old and I went to a basketball camp at Duke University, which is in Durham, North Carolina. That's my home state. And me, being the homebody that I am, was really ready to go home at the end of the week. And on Saturday morning, I was awakened by the sound of footsteps coming down the hallway of the dorm where we were staying. And I knew who that was. It was my dad coming down the hallway to take me home. Now, I realize that there are dads who are abusive at the sound of their footsteps would create fear in a child. But I knew my dad. And I knew he loved me. And I trusted him and delighted in him. Likewise, knowing Daddy, Abba, Father, Father God, means knowing, loving, savoring, and trusting Him through Christ. That's what the Christian life is all about. It gives us reason to say, let me tell you about my dad. Let me tell you about my dad. There's no one like him. Better than even the best earthly father, no one protects his children better than Father God. Sin, Satan, and society have a pull on us. But there's no one like Daddy to turn to when life is painful and we're struggling with such things as a job loss, health issues, or family problems. Abba, Father, Daddy, is greater than all the pleasures of the world that we can boast in, whether it be money, security, or popularity. And here's one more reason why knowing Daddy as Abba Father is worth bragging and boasting about. Take a look here at Psalm 89, verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Remember, knowing God is an intimate, love-laden relationship, not a well-polished religion of do's and don'ts. And to know God is to know Christ. Did you hear that? And to know God is to know Christ. Because through God's great love, grace, and mercy found in Christ, He provides the gift of eternal life to all who receive Jesus through grace alone, by faith alone. Church, that's the good news message of the cross. That's the good news message of the cross. God practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. He delights in those things, His Word says. That's who God is. That's who Jesus is, because He is God. Now listen to these words to back that up from Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, and then Hebrews chapter 1, the first part of verse 3. Here's the Colossians verse first. It says, "For in Him, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." And then the Hebrews verse. "He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power." The Lord Jesus is the fullness, the radiance, the exact imprint of God's nature. Sam Crabtree, teacher, pastor, and author, said this: "Jesus is not merely the echo of God. He is God." Think about that. And since Jesus is God, there's a desperation there. There's a desperate reason for us to delight in Him, because He is everything. And that takes us to the third and final point, that delighting in Jesus means that we are desperate for Him. So in this text today from Jeremiah chapter 9, God says He delights in love, justice, and righteousness. Therefore, He delights in His Son, the Lord Jesus, because He is all of those things. And if you're trusting Jesus as your only hope for today and all of eternity, God delights in you. Let me say that again. I really need to hear that. Do you need to hear that? Let me say that one more time. If you're trusting Jesus as your only hope for today and for all eternity, God delights in you. Christ's righteousness has been credited to you by God in His grace. By grace, the Holy Spirit has moved your heart to trust Jesus. Jesus is the perfect love of God displayed in the cross. He's the only one in whom God's perfect love and justice intersect. Jesus is the true and perfect righteousness of Father God. And by His righteousness, get this, by His righteousness, sinners like you and me can come to the Father with empty hands. We have nothing to bring. We have everything to receive from Him. We come to Him with no merit of our own, no boasting in our wisdom, our strength, or our riches, but boasting only in Christ. That's reason to delight in God. That's reason for desperately delighting in the Lord Jesus. Now let me give a warning here. Desperately delighting in Jesus means things are going to get costly for self. In other words, accepting that cost of boasting only in Christ is going to downgrade self. It means living the joy principle, J-O-Y, instead of the you principle, Y-O-U. You see, boasting in Jesus and delighting in Him is going to cost us. It's going to cost you. And in fact, in some places in the world, delighting in Christ and knowing Him means church buildings get burned down. It means abandonment, torture, imprisonment, and even death. Just ask Christians in parts of Asia, Africa, or the Middle East what it's like to boast in Christ. And here's a question. Do you delight in Jesus and are you desperate for Him? Do you boast in knowing Him as Father, Friend, Lord, and Savior? Think back to the example of the Titanic I gave at the beginning of the message. The way I understand it, decades after the disaster of the Titanic sinking, there was an exhibit where relics were displayed from the ship's wreckage. And visitors to this exhibit were given a replica of a ticket which had the actual name of a passenger on it. And on a large board were listed all of the names of the people who were on the Titanic. And on one side of that board was a column that had all those who were rescued. And on another side of that board was a column that had all the names of those who were lost. If your name or my name were on that board, which side of the line would you want to be on? I dare say all of us would answer rescued. Think of this too, church. Sin is like a shipwreck. Sin is like a shipwreck. Deadly, tragic, disastrous. And unless we're rescued from sin, our name would certainly be in the lost column. Hopelessly lost for eternity in the deep and dark waters of God's judgment upon sin. But God made the way for sinners like you and me to be rescued. And it's only through Jesus Christ. Scripture says that He is the only way to God the Father. He received the punishment for sin on the cross. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is like a man giving up his place on a lifeboat so that another person can be rescued and live. And those who receive that gift of life by faith are set free from judgment and death. To know Jesus is to be rescued. Now listen to this. To not know Him or just know about Him is to be lost. Which side of the line are you on today? Rescued or lost? If you don't know Him, or you know about Him, are you desperate for Jesus to rescue you today? The Bible says, repent and believe. And you can do that by turning toward God and turning away from sin. That's repentance. And then trusting that that Christ is who He says He is. Receive Him by faith alone, by God's grace alone, as Savior, Redeemer, and Friend. You can do that right now. You can do that today. Today could be the first day that you can really say with truth that I can boast in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And what about if you're already trusting Jesus, but you're like me, you're still applying the you principle, the YOU principle, relying upon self? Will it be our wisdom, strength, and wealth that gets us through the day? Or will trusting and boasting in the Lord be enough? Think about that. After all, it's because of the Holy Spirit that we can even boast in Jesus Christ as Lord. The Holy Spirit, He did the work in bringing us to Christ. And He'll keep working with us, through us, for us, and in spite of us to become more like Christ. Here's a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31 concerning that. Beautiful scripture. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. So I'd like to start wrapping this message up by saying this, reemphasizing what we've heard today from God's Word, that boasting in one's wisdom, strength, and wealth seems right, but in the end it's actually desperation for self. And self is all about pride and arrogance, which is sin. On the other hand, boasting in God and knowing Him means knowing the Lord Jesus and loving Him more than self. The Holy Spirit, He reveals the truths of knowing God in Christ intimately as the relationship of a father to a son or daughter. That's an example of what it means to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And to know Jesus is to know Him as friend, elder brother, Savior, and Lord. That's what it means to know love, justice, and righteousness. And God delights in those things. That's why God delights in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why ambassadors for Christ, people like you and me, are needed to share the message of the cross to everyone. And whether it's at your next door neighbor's house or in the jungles of Ghana, Africa, Jesus Christ is to be boasted in. Think about this, church. Within this broken and sin-shattered world of despair, chaos, and self-absorption, there's an urgent need for boasting only in Christ. And here's a question for all of us. Listen closely. How will you and me serve the Lord to meet that need? How will you and me serve the Lord to meet that need, to tell others about who He is and to boast in Him? So in conclusion, for those of you here at the worship service, take a look up on the projection there on the wall. And for those of you just listening audibly, there's a picture of a pond with ripples emanating from a center point. And that center point represents who Jesus is. And think of the ripple effect that's emanating from that center as boasting only in Christ instead of ourselves. Again, Christ is at the center, not us. And think of this, those ripples that you see there emanating from Christ are love, justice, and righteousness. And those ripples are impacting the world for His glory and the good of His people. Is that a reflection of your life and my life? Think about that. Because with the Holy Spirit's guidance, as we trust in Him, we cannot help but proclaim the excellencies of the One who would call people like you and me out of the darkness into His marvelous light. We cannot help but turn our eyes to Jesus, to delight in Him, to realize our desperation for Him, to boast in Him, to enjoy Him forever. Nothing, and I mean nothing, could be better than that. Let's pray. Father, indeed, your word is like a two-edged sword that cuts to the very heart of who we are. Today, Father, as we have heard your words, that you delight in love, justice, and righteousness, would we be a people who would go from this place today and spread the good news of that message to those who are desperately in need of knowing you as Savior and Lord? And we need you, Jesus, to do that. Holy Spirit, only you can carry us along to accomplish that message. So would we be bearers, ambassadors, representatives of the truth which boasts in Christ alone? Do that for your glory and our good. Be praised, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand as we continue to worship.